Today, this weekend, we celebrate Memorial Day, and I just wanted to mention, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday or the day before. Many of you, I know Jeff lost his brother over in Vietnam. I remember that at school when that message came, how Jeannie was in my class, how that affected her when she found out her brother been killed. And then I had a couple neighbors. As I look back, you know, I was like 5 or 6 years old, and my dad would hire him to walk beans. And what that was is the cuckleburrs, you'd go in there and you'd cut them out before they go to seed, you know, because they didn't have a lot of killer back then and stuff. But these two brothers would come down and they would work for my dad. They would tease me. They were kind of like my idol. You know, I was 5 years old and they were probably 15. You know, I already thought they were cool. But I kind of remember, you know, when we got word that they never came home. First one of them was killed, and then the other one, he was already in the military, and he could have chose not to go into active service, but he chose to do it anyway. And I was looking it up online yesterday, and he died a month and a half after he was in Vietnam. So he must have maybe wanted to go, you know, for the family, for his brother. I really don't know. But, you know, we live in a free country now because, you know, many people have paid a price. You know, I remember growing up, you know, being, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, going to school, and WHO, which is that one on 1040, some of you may not listen to that. I don't listen to it anymore. But every week or, you know, during the day, they would give the death count of how many people were killed in Vietnam. And the ones from Iowa, I believe, if I remember correctly, I was little then, but they read their names. You know, and you grow up with that, you know, just seeing what, you know, some people have to do, you know, to make, you know, make this country better. So, you know, we just want to be appreciative, and I think most people are, for, you know, what's been purchased for us. Because, you know, people can say all they want, but nothing's free. Not one thing. Even salvation's not free. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody always has to pay. You know, there's nothing free. And Jesus Christ paid for us. It's free for us, but it wasn't free for him. And the fact that we have the freedom to even disrespect the flag, which is hard to imagine, it's, you know, somebody paid for that right. So just kind of, you know, something I think our kids need to understand and to hear about the idea of being appreciative and having respect. Amen? All right, now, without any further comments or commercials, amen, we are going to get into what we want to talk about today. And we're going to be talking about Pentecost. Remember, we talked about it last week. Last week was Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is the time in church history when God poured out his Spirit upon the earth. I was thinking about this, and maybe I've seen a commercial, maybe you've seen it too, but how would you like to go to a restaurant and when your food comes, there was a bite taken out of it? Wouldn't that be kind of weird? You know, you kind of look around and was it the cook? Was it the waiter? Who did that? You know, and I don't know about you, I'd feel kind of cheated. You know, something going on there. Don't really know. But see, to me, that's what it's like when we don't get the full gospel. You know, we're cheated. You know, if we don't get the whole Bible and everything that God wants to tell, that's why we need the full counsel of God. To me, the Bible's not a buffet where, because of our denominational persuasion, we can just pick and choose certain areas and, you know, gravitate towards that, because we all gravitate towards the stuff we like. I mean, that's just the way life is, right? We go to stuff we like the best, and that's why it's good to probably have a Bible reading plan where you read the whole Bible. That way you know, at least get some vegetables in there every now and then. But, you know, instead of just the fun stuff. Now, a lot of Christians have settled for the partial gospel. To me, God gave it all, and I want it all. And that's not wrong. God gave it all for us, and we need to be able to tap into that. The scripture I want to look at today is in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit here today. We thank you for the gifts that you've given. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Holy Spirit, we just surrender this service to you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done so far, but Lord, we know that there's more to come. And Lord, we just want to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started off with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. A little bit of background about that for those who wasn't here. We talked about Pentecost. And Pentecost is 50 days roughly after Passover. Passover is when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Now, what it's called in the Old Testament, they celebrated things in the Old Testament, a lot of feasts. And there's three major feast times that the men would have to go to worship in Jerusalem. And this was one of them. And it's called the Feast of Harvest. And they would celebrate, you know, the harvest that God had given. So they would bring some of the harvest and present it to God. Now God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to pour out his Spirit at the Feast of Harvest. Now many people are not aware, but Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, appeared to many people, roughly 500, talks about in Corinthians, and he revealed himself for roughly 40 days. I don't know about you, but that'd be a faith builder. You know, that would get you a little bit excited, you know. And you know, God did that because he wanted the church to get up and running. He wanted it to be positive for them to follow him. I'm sure it was devastating, you know, when they found out that Jesus Christ died in their place. And, you know, a lot of the stuff they didn't understand, just like we sometimes misunderstand things. Well, then after that, he told them to go and he told them to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. They didn't know for how long, although being good Jewish people, they probably should have figured it out a little bit, but maybe they didn't. And they waited 10 days. And after those 10 days, all of a sudden there was a mighty rushing wind. And God poured out his Spirit upon the people. And when that happened, you know, many of them started to speak in known languages. And we also know, if you look in Corinthians, especially 1 Corinthians 12, and then on back in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about a spiritual language, an angelic language, which we're not going to go into today. But, you know, that's talking about speaking in tongues. And that makes some people nervous. But like I said last week, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a Pentecostal. A lot of people don't want to say that. But she was in the upper room, and it said they all spoke with tongues. So evidently, Mary was a Pentecostal. Now, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, a lot of things changed. We know what happened, and this is what I want to see. You may not want to speak in tongues, and that's fine. That's your business. It's between you and God. Speaking in tongues does not make you a better than somebody else Christian. It just makes you the best you can be Christian. And I believe, like I said, it's the full gospel. It's in there. We should be able to be open to receive it if it's from God. It doesn't make you more special than anybody else, because some Pentecostals think they're better than other people. I've seen that. You know, they think because they speak in tongues, they're better than people that don't. And that's ridiculous. You know, God's not a respecter of persons. You know, so we just got to get that out of our head. But me, like I said last week, I hate to say this, but I was kind of thankful I wasn't raised in a dead church, a church that talked against the truth of the full gospel message. You know, I didn't really go to church as a kid. So not until I decided I needed to change my life and that I knew I couldn't do it on my own, did they start seeking after God. And as the Lord led me, I lived about two or three blocks from a church that just happened to believe in the whole gospel, the whole Bible. And that was good for me. So I got tied in there and, you know, was able to be a part of that. Now, I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues every day. Now, speaking in tongues is different, and we won't go into all that today, but that's another study on the gifts of the Spirit. But the benefit, what we're going to look at today, is about to be a witness, because that's what Jesus wanted for us to do. A lot of people are afraid to be a witness. Now, I don't know about you. I have done this kind of. Right before I got saved, me and my roommate were sitting around, and we were not thinking totally straight, but we goaded each other into quitting our jobs and backpacking around Europe. So we each quit our jobs, we got our tickets, and we went to Europe and started to go over there, and I hung out, and we was there for 2.5 months, and we ended up separating over there and doing different things. We wanted to see different things. But I do remember when I went down to Greece, I was on a boat. And see, I'd been in church for a while, but I don't consider myself born again. I wasn't born again yet. And I was on this boat, and all of a sudden, some of the people I was with, they were Americans. And they would apologize to me for cussing. I didn't understand that. But evidently, Christianity was starting to rub off on me because I must have been acting kind of Christian-like. And I said, I'm not a Christian. I just denied it. So then after I got to thinking about how bad that was. But I wasn't totally saved yet. Not until November 5th, 1983, did I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And he changed my life forever. Amen. And delivered me from the power of the enemy. Now, I kind of see what Peter has went through, although he did get a walk with Jesus and I didn't, so, you know. But he denied the Lord three times that night. He was afraid. He was afraid of what people might say about him. He was afraid about what people might do to him because he was a Christian. Or not a Christian yet, but he was a follower of Christ. So, but something happened. When he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he went from being afraid to standing out on that street and preaching the gospel and getting right in their face and telling them that you crucified the Lord of glory. And they repented and 3,000 people were saved. So something happened. Something changed his life. And that was when he yielded his life to everything that God had for him. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit totally changed him. He was filled. And what it was, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic gifts. And like I said last week, you know, I'm a cross between a charismaniac and a wordaholic. You know, I just love the Word, man. You know, I believe the Word and the Word's where it's at. And I just can't understand people who don't love the Word of God. It just amazes me. And I could be a little more outgoing in my charismatic experience probably and get a little crazier, but, you know, I hold back because I don't clap very good and don't sing very good. So, you know, I kind of hold back. That's my problem. I'm still working through. You know, but nevertheless, you know, it does change us. And we're called to witness. So that's a little bit about what we looked at last week. Now, what we're going to start off with today is found in this passage where it talks about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. To me, that's the dynamic duo. Now, when I say the word dynamic duo, a lot of you probably think of something. Probably Batman and Robin, I would imagine. Some of you. I'm going to be honest. You know, they were the dynamic duo growing up. You know, I remember Batman when he first came out and watching the show. It was kind of goofy. But I do remember as a kid, you know, certain things you could really count on. And you could always count on Batman and Robin, man. I mean, they always did it. No matter what came against them, you know, they always won in the end. You know, it didn't matter if it was Joker or Penguin or Riddler. It didn't matter. You know, they were going to get them. They were going to win in the end and, you know, win the victory and save Gotham or whatever it took. Now, Catwoman was a different story, wasn't she, a little bit? She kind of messed with Batman's head a little bit. And Batman had some troubles there. But one for Robin, Batman, you know, he might have gotten a lot of trouble. But, you know, that's why we need each other. Talk us out of some of that crazy stuff. But see, our dynamic duo for us is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Because we can always count on that. Amen. As sure as you could have counted on Batman and Robin winning towards the end of the episode, you can count on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit bringing you to victory in your life. But we have to have them working. Because here's what happens. A lot of people sometimes, well, I don't like that Holy Spirit stuff, especially the Holy Ghost. That ghost thing kind of bothers me. You know what I mean? They're scared of the Holy Ghost. So if it helps you, it's the Holy Good Ghost, all right? You know, you can call him the Holy Good Ghost. But, you know, what happens when you just have the Word of God without believing that the Holy Spirit's working, what happens? You get religion. Because when that happens, you get a bunch of rules and regulations. And really, that's what kind of happens in life when a bunch of seminarians, you know, get a hold of the Bible and they start dissecting it and pulling it apart and doing all these things, and they try to take away the power of it. Because we need to have both to have balance. Because rules and regulations, that's not a relationship. Well, then on the other hand, you got some of our brothers and sisters kind of in the ultra-Pentecostal movement is that they have all spirit but no word, and they get into weirdness. They get in on goofy stuff. You know, I've experienced some of that going around in different places where, you know, the Spirit said this, the Spirit said that, but what they're saying is the Spirit said something that's contrary with the Word. Amen. Well, no, the Holy Spirit would never do that. The Holy Spirit confirms the Word. Doesn't speak against the Word. Doesn't tell us all this weird, goofy stuff. And I mean, I've been, you know, I'm very inquisitive when it comes to things of God. So I've tapped into different channels, different places. I've preached in some Pentecostal churches. And I've preached in, you know, different kinds of places. Because I want to learn. I want to experience everything that God has. And sometimes, you know, it's good. And sometimes you just got to watch yourself so you don't get off into some things. But, you know, that's why we need the dynamic duo, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And as you, and that comes with having a relationship, meaning to me, is that we have to get into the Word of God. We have to understand what it says and what God's telling us. And you might say, well, that's what I pay you for. No. That's not what you pay me for. If you did, you'd be paying me a lot more than you do right now, praise God. My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. Read it in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, technically, you know, I'm a facilitator. That's my responsibility. And we all are supposed to do the work of the ministry. That's how we get blessed. That's how we learn things. And, you know, you may not have to know everything about the Bible, but I believe that every Christian should know enough. Enough to get by. Enough to be able to tell somebody how to come to Christ and learn about it. And we're going to see that. Now what happened is the church, the early church, after Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved and, you know, people were just getting healed and, you know, a lot of things were happening. The religious people, they got nervous. They got mad. As a matter of fact, they kind of grabbed them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't know what to do with this situation. So all they did was say, do not preach about Jesus anymore. You just shut up about that Jesus person. I don't want no more of that Jesus stuff around here. Now, they ruled the roost, so they thought. So what happened was the apostles, they didn't call a meeting, you know, and get a committee together and say, what should we do? You know, they didn't hire a consultant. They didn't fire the pastor. That was good. They prayed to God for guidance. See, this prayer that I, this answer, 431 that I just read, was an answer to their prayer. Because they were persecuted. They were commanded not to preach in this name anymore. Don't you go out and tell anybody else about this. They told, you know, they grilled the guy and put him out of the temple, the Jewish life, everything changed. But see, the early church, they knew that they needed God. They knew that they needed more of God. You know, many times people look for signs. Now, I'll be honest. When I'm going somewhere, I like a sign. I like to see where I'm going. But technically, really, as a Christian, signs should follow us. That's what the Bible says. And see, we're never going to see signs unless we start to get that relationship down with Jesus Christ and get close to Him. Now, two things that you and I are supposed to be doing when it comes to this passage. It says, get filled with the Spirit. Then it says to speak the Word with boldness. Now, many of you maybe recollect from last week, two chapters earlier, Acts chapter 2, it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever been full before? After you eat, you know that feeling of fullness? You know? So they were filled. But here, it said they got filled again. Wonder what happened. Evidently, we leak. You think? I don't know. Now, they didn't have an Acts 2 experience right here. In chapter 4, they just got refilled again. Now, I know some people, you know, a long time ago, back when I traveled around different churches in the Midwest. And, you know, I'd run into them sometimes, and, you know, they would just, you know, bless God, yeah, I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1969. What do you got now? Huh? Honey, you need to get filled again. You leak. You leak. Just like a flat tire, right? It's only flat on the bottom. Huh? Right? Flat tire is only flat on the bottom. Still got air in there a little bit. But it's got doesn't have enough to keep it going. And see, that's why we need to stay connected to the vine. And we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. And there's ways you can do that through worship, through prayer, through the Word of God, keeping a good attitude. Hallelujah. All these things are important. And as we start to walk in these things and we start to do these things, then we start to see things happen, start to happen inside of us. And it starts to change our life. And then we start to see people's lives change around us. You know, as we move in the things of God, we start to see God start to do things through us. And that's what I want us to get to today. You know, I love telling stories and about what God's done. But I do remember, you know, you've heard a lot of people tell stories about, you know, God did this in my life and God did that in my life. And, you know, we're seeing this happen. You're seeing that happen. And then you get to thinking about your life and, well, none of that's happened in my life. Well, it can. It can. God's not a respecter of persons. See, God wants us to step out. The reason why I feel that we don't see things happen is because we're too busy waiting for something to happen. Amen. Instead of stepping out in faith and starting to see things happen. You know, Peter stepped out of the boat. He had to step out. Until he stepped out, he never walked on water. He could have waited till Jesus walked all the way to the boat. But he wanted to go meet him. He wanted to get to Jesus. And say, we had to do whatever it takes in our life to get to Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 1, when it told them to wait them 10 days, and it talks about a reason, and that's what I want us to see today. Let's just put tongues on the back burner for a minute, because I know that scares some people. Because what we can't control intimidates us sometimes, right? It intimidates us. So let's just put that to the side. If you want to, I believe you can. If you ask God to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some Pentecostal groups believe that you have to speak in tongues to receive the baptism. I'm not saying what I believe because I'm not really sure. I know I have. Some say they are, and they don't speak in tongues. Who am I, you know, to criticize their walk? I'm not going to do that. But all I'm saying is to be open for everything that God has for you. Now, the one thing that we need to look at today, which we should agree on, even if you don't believe in the speaking in tongues part, is that the Holy Spirit was given to empower us to be a witness. I believe we should all agree on that. That's pretty safe territory right there. You know, what kind of witness are we? You know, how can we reach out to people? How can we make a change in people's life? See, to me, the church is messed up. Not our church. No, I'm just kidding. Our church is messed up too. We're all messed up. Because somehow in our mind, we've went away from what the Word says and we started to do what the world says. See, we advertise instead of evangelize. And that's a truth, isn't it? We advertise. We may be advertising in the paper or maybe on Facebook or different things. And that's not totally wrong. But the Bible, I don't see one thing where it says the church is supposed to go and advertise. I see the church is commanded to go and evangelize. And that means to reach out to those who don't know. Peter stepped out and he talked to people that weren't saved yet. And he told them about how to get saved. That's all we're supposed to do. We don't have to save them. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All we have to do is tell them. We need to tell them, what has Jesus done for you? And if he's done something, just tell them that. We don't have to tell them all the theological issues and straighten everything out or why is bad things happening to people in another country. I mean, those are God questions. We won't know all those answers. All we have to do them is tell them, this is how I met Jesus. I'll be honest, this is how I met Jesus. I knew my life was over if I didn't do something. Amen. I knew that I probably wouldn't live to the age of 30, which back then it didn't bother me either way. You know, I just figured this is all there is. But I knew deep down inside there had to be something more. I knew that through my life, God had delivered me from death so many times. End over in car wrecks, all kinds of silly situations, that I should be dead. But deep down inside, I knew that God had a plan for my life. So evidently, I should go find out what that plan was. So I ended up moving from Albia to Denver because I needed to get away from some of these people that were helping me to destroy my life. I had to change. And then when I went out there, God led me to a church, and it really wasn't my fit. I went to a Baptist church of some sort. It was a little, just didn't feel right. We went there a time or two because one of my roommates was Baptist. And we went there and kind of checked it out, and they were being too friendly to us, if you know what I'm saying. They were, you know, you know, I don't know, it was just a weird feel. But then, we moved. Because me and my roommate, one of us, we really wanted to change. Because when we moved to Denver, several other of the roommates, they brought some of the garbage with them, if you know what I'm saying. And we're all living under one roof. Finally, we say, hey, we're going to go get another place. We're going to move. So we moved out, me and another guy. And we went and got a place. And lo and behold, I was two blocks away from the church where I ended up getting saved and going to Bible school. God was in that. He was in that for my life. Some people came door to door. And I've told this story before. I couldn't get rid of them. They wouldn't leave till I prayed the prayer. You know, I had to pray the prayer. Even though I don't really consider my salvation that day, I did get them out the door, praise God. Because they weren't leaving. You know, I kept hinting around. I kept doing stuff. And finally, I just said, okay, you know, let's pray. You know. So they probably notched me on their belt and moved on, praise God. But anyway, it was the process that God used. And finally, I surrendered my life. You know, I surrendered my life to Christ. Because I knew that God was real. And I knew that the Bible was true. The thing was, I just wasn't living it because I didn't understand it. So I went and bought a Bible. And that's another story in itself. I bought the wrong kind of Bible. I told Jimmy this story. I might ruffle some feathers if I tell people what kind of Bible I bought, you know. And I was there. Well, I'll just tell it. I don't care anymore. I was in singles, and I was working as an usher, and had my Bible. I was proud of it. I was packing that Bible around there, you know, and doing things. And because I just didn't know you wasn't supposed to get involved in church. I thought you were supposed to help out, you know. So I just hopped right in. I wasn't meaning to stick the knife in nobody there. But anyway, glory to God. I bought me a Masonic Bible. I had no clue. I wasn't a Mason, you know. And had the big thing drawn on the front, and, you know, I didn't know all about it. And, you know, and I don't know. Some people believe, you know, differently about the Masons. But anyway, one of the head usher come up and talked to me and started asking me about, you know, if I was a Mason or something, you know. I go, no, I just bought this Bible. And then he told me about it, and I said, oh. So I went out, and I know it's wrong. I tore those pages out of my Bible. What talked about the Masonic Lodge. You know, some people have different views on that, but, you know, anything that asks you to come and join an organization that's, you know, a little different than Christianity, if you study into it, I kind of opened a can of worms here. I'm not going to finish it, but, yeah, just study it out for yourself. Amen. You know, I'll be honest. Once you join the church, why would you want to join any other organization? Come on. I mean, the church is the thing. That's it. That's what Jesus died for. He didn't die for the Masons. He didn't die for the KCs. He didn't die for all these other organizations. He died for the church. Amen. For people. I mean, we just got to make it simple, not make it complicated. But we do. So, with saying that, you know, what happens is that instead of evangelizing, we advertise. And what God just spoke to me the other day is, you know, God didn't ever tell the world to come into the church. God tells the church to go into the world. You know, we have it wrong. We think, you know, we have that if you build it, they will come mentality. And we maybe had that when we built this building. I knew I needed to change my life on Friday nights, man. I'm a single boy living in Denver, Colorado. No family. I had some friends, not a lot. So naturally, I would just go to the bars on Friday night, trying to meet people. Well, I knew God had drawn me a little bit, so I knew that there must be something else out there. So, lo and behold, I read the church bulletin. Friday night, evangelism. I didn't know what that meant. Had no clue what the word evangelism meant or what they expected of me to do. So meet up in this room at this time. So I went over there. You know, I lived on the south side of the church, so I think I drove. It was only 2 blocks away. I might have walked. I don't remember. But went down in there and went up in the class, and I was sitting up there with about 10 other people, and they started to explain what evangelism was. They were going to give us these little pieces of paper, and we were going to go out to a certain area of town, and we was going to go up and tell people about Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what that means. So I just played it cool. You know, they all said, we're going to go out in the north parking lot, and we're getting our cars, and we're going to go over to East Colfax, and we'll meet at the McDonald's, and we're going to go pass out tracts. Okay. Amen. Walked out. I went out the south door. They went out the north door. I went home. I was afraid to death. Just scared. Just scared about that. Didn't know what I was going to do. That didn't sound like, you know, I want something to do on Friday night, but, you know, I don't know if that's what I want, you know. 1 year later, I was the leader of that group.
Hallelujah.
Something changed, and that was Jesus. The Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we was going out to East Colfax, and we're telling a lot of people about how Jesus Christ can change their life. I seen him touch transvestites' life, and their life was changed right before my eyes. I seen people who were involved in witchcraft rendered powerless at the name of Jesus. I witnessed these things with my own eyes. Nobody can tell me there's not power.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody can tell me that ever again, because I seen it with my eyes. Because I witnessed it, because I was a part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the power that Jesus Christ wants to give to you and I. See, the devil has lied to Christians for a long time. He's made us feel sterile, that we can't reproduce ourselves. The job of every Christian is to reproduce themselves. I believe that with all my heart. Every Christian should reproduce themselves. They should at least try to lead one person to Jesus Christ. Somehow, some way, somewhere. To testify about what Jesus Christ has done for them. And I encourage you to do that if you haven't. You say, well, I'm scared. Well, good, I have the answer for you right here. You need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, from what I read and what I've experienced, and you'll be bold. It'll give you some boldness you've never had before. Just simple as that. It's not going to make you a fire-breathing street preacher. You know, a lot of people go to the extremes, man. You know, I think if they become a Christian, they got to become a missionary. That's just the next step, you know. You're going to have to sell all your junk and go move overseas somewhere. No. God ain't going to make you do that. He might give you the desire to do that, and that's good for you. But I'm just saying, if you're tired of backing down and being afraid like Peter was, and I know I was, and you want to be able to testify, all you got to just say, hey, I want to be a witness for Christ. You know, when the opportunity arises, I know you can't hit up your friends every day at work, man. They'll get sick of you. But there is some people that are ready. There's some people whose hearts are ready, you know, that we can testify and be able to tell what Jesus Christ has done for us, and he can do it for you. And they're ripe for harvest. And we as a church, that's what we need to be ready for. You know, God tells us not to advertise. He tells us to evangelize. And so we need the power of God, you know, working in our life. And, you know, we think, well, that's the pastor's job. No. Oh, I know, we'll have an evangelist come in. Most evangelists preach to Christians. And that's the truth. No, we need to go out ourselves and to tell people about the love of Christ. What amazes me, the early church, you know, we've never been persecuted here in America so bad. But the early church, when they were persecuted and commanded, I mean, we can't really understand that. But see, the temple and the Sanhedrin, the power that they wielded over the people's lives was phenomenal. And when that man was put out of the temple because he got healed by God, I mean, come on, folks. I mean, that's religion. But he was booted out. And see, that's where all the source was. That's where everybody gravitated around. But see, God wants us to be able to tap into the new life, and that's the new life through Jesus Christ. And the early church didn't ask for protection. You know, a lot of times, oh, God, save us, save me from this problem. No, they asked for opportunity. When persecution came, they asked for opportunity. They asked for boldness, that God would fill their mouth with something to say. They can tell these people so lives would be changed. See, they knew there'd be opposition, but they just wanted opportunity. I want to leave us with that today. Are we looking for opportunity? That's all I'm saying. Just be ready. You know, it may not happen every time, but just be ready. My goal for you, and if you notice, sometimes when I'll have some people come up to ask Jesus Christ into their heart, and I have somebody new up here, you know, maybe assisting me, I'll let them lead them to the Lord. I'm not about scoring, running up my numbers, you know what I'm saying? You know, because I know in my heart that once somebody leads somebody to the Lord, they're going to get a taste, and they won't be satisfied until they do it again. Amen. See, once we tap into God's flow and into God's kingdom, we start to do things God's way, then we're going to start to see things start to change. So if you're afraid to share your faith today, you know, I want you to ask God to give you boldness with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus knew we needed help, and we all do. Now, here's what I want you to remember. It's not wrong to ask for help. To me, it's wrong when we don't ask for help. Amen? Let's pray.